Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
On March 29th, 2016, the world was saddened by the news that much-loved American actress Patty Duke had died. The former child star had been charming audiences for over 60 years.
Well, she was a remarkable actress.
She played the heck out of some of those early roles.
She has won awards in just about everything, on the stage, TV, I mean, she's done it all.
It seemed nothing could stop her. But behind the scenes, it was a different story.
Overspending, having lots of sex with lots of different people, drinking.
There were famous husbands and sons, and some devastating lows.
Patty had many suicide attempts.
But she survived and became an inspiration to millions.
According to news reports, Patty Duke died as a result of complications of a ruptured lower intestine. Not only are intestinal ruptures rare, but with surgical intervention, there's a reasonable chance of survival. So what happened in the case of Patty Duke?
Do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
World-renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist, Dr. Michael Hunter, has performed around 5,000 autopsies, collaborating closely with law enforcement and other forensic specialists. His pivotal role in investigating suspicious cases has revealed the truth behind mysterious deaths for over 20 years.
Patty Duke died as a result of a ruptured lower intestine at the relatively young age of 69. Very little is known about what happened or the state of her health in the last few years of her life. So I need to analyze every detail in the available information to piece together what else was going on in her body if I'm going to find the answers.
May 23rd, 2014, Omaha, Nebraska, less than 2 years before her death. Patty Duke is attending a sold-out gala event at the 1,000-seater Witherspoon Concert Hall, celebrating her 1962 Oscar-winning performance as Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker.
Kirk Coons, event security.
People were excited to see her as soon as she stepped out of the limousine. It's that awe of it's her.
In recent years, she has scaled back her acting work and is most often seen at events like this. But the organizer, Bruce Crawford, is concerned.
Bruce Crawford, Omaha film event organizer.
I was quite taken aback by her appearance. She did not look well. She was very frail and did not look her age.
But regardless of any possible health concerns, for Patty Duke, the show must go on.
We thought she could get through the bulk of the evening, but unfortunately, that was not the case.
Looking at photographs and interview footage of Patty around this time, she does appear to be quite fragile. According to witness reports, she'd recently undergone some tests. But for a woman in her late 60s, these could suggest any number of age-related conditions and don't offer me further insight into what the problem might be.
Patty Duke was born Anna Marie Duke in New York City on December 14, 1946. Her family was poor, and both of her parents struggled with mental illness.
Gloria Hotchman, co-author A Brilliant Madness.
Her mother was very depressed, and she often threatened to commit suicide. Her father suffered from alcoholism, and he left the house when she was 5 or 6 years old, and she hardly ever saw him after that.
Her brother Raymond, 5 years her senior, was a child actor. When TV producers were looking for a girl to play his younger sister, Anna Marie was introduced to his managers, John and Ethel Ross.
The Rosses took her to their home, which was on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. She would go there at first on weekends for training.
They spotted her potential and set about grooming her to become a major acting talent. Soon, the work was rolling in. Patty appeared regularly in commercials, movies, and on TV. Then, in 1959, she took on the career-defining role of a young Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker, a Broadway play that was to change her life.
It was a step in her career that just put her to the top and made everybody around her aware of how talented she really was.
3 years later, she became the then-youngest actress to win an Oscar for her performance in the 1962 film adaptation of the same play. The launch of The Patty Duke Show in 1963 took her fame to new heights, along with films such as My Sweet Charlie and Valley of the Dolls. Over the next 50 years, she went on to win 3 Emmys and 2 Golden Globe Awards. Off-screen, she was married 4 times, and 2 of her children, Sean and Mackenzie Astin, also went on to become actors. May 23rd, 2014, Omaha. Patty Duke is coming to the end of her speech at the Witherspoon Concert Hall gala event. As the evening progresses, it is clear that she is unwell.
She was in a lot of pain, lower pain in her stomach area. She just was in a great discomfort.
She turned to me and she said, "Kirk, I need to go to the hospital."
And when that happened, then some of the press and media that were there descended upon me, and I had to deal with it from that point on.
Kirk rushes Patty and her husband, Mike, to the nearby University of Nebraska Medical Center.
She noticed every bump in the street, but the look on her face told me she was in a lot of pain.
One of the symptoms of a lower intestine or bowel rupture is severe abdominal pain. It requires immediate emergency surgery. As this illness in Omaha occurs almost 2 years before her death, her pain here isn't due to the rupture that kills her, but it could be an early sign of what caused it. Looking at Patty's medical history, I noticed she suffered many colds and sore throats as a child. Her managers, the Rosses, sought a specific treatment for this, and I wonder if it impacted in any way on her long-term health.
Patty's managers were so concerned that she was always fit to work. At the first sign of illness, Patty was taken to the doctor and given an injection of penicillin.
David Abbott, makeup artist.
The Rosses wanted her to be this superstar, so they would do anything to have that paycheck.
Robert Pella, journalist.
They were in it for the buck. They were not necessarily trying to improve Patty Duke's life.
Regular exposure to the medicine over a number of years caused Patty to become allergic to it.
Penicillin allergy occurs when the immune system becomes hypersensitive to the drug. In severe cases, it can be fatal. Fortunately, other antibiotics are available, so if Patty's ruptured intestine at the end of her life resulted in a bacterial infection, her doctors would have attempted to treat it with alternatives. So I can rule this out as having a direct impact on her death. But the Rosses' need to put business first concerns me, and I'm wondering if they were compromising Patty's health in other ways.
Patty was perhaps 12 or 13 when she was introduced to medication that she probably didn't need.
An autopsy not only reveals how a person died, but how they lived. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter. If you like what you're hearing, check out more Dark Mysteries on your TV on Reels channel. There are shocking real life and death stories in World's Most Evil Killers, like the quiet neighbor nicknamed the Scorpion after he bludgeoned 9 women to death with a hammer, and Rodney Alcala, the serial murderer best known as the Dating Game Killer. Then check out the latest episodes of Autopsy that reveal what really killed screen and music legends like Walt Disney, Tom Petty, David Cassidy, and Batman's Adam West. You can find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen to find Reels in your area.
On March 29th, 2016, the world was saddened by news of the death of Hollywood icon Patty Duke. Little is known about the circumstances. Now, leading forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the case.
So far, I've discovered that just under 2 years before her death, Patty was suffering from abdominal pain that required hospitalization. I've also discovered that her early managers were so eager to keep her working that she was given shots of penicillin whenever she was ill, which resulted in her developing an allergy. But there are many accounts that her managers went much further, and I need to build up a bigger picture of her childhood and teenage years, as I believe they may hold some clues.
From the time she was a little girl, she had panic attacks. She always felt that there was something wrong, but she never said that out loud.
I can see that Patty suffered from episodes of anxiety throughout her childhood. Anxiety can be extremely debilitating and lead to shortness of breath, insomnia, and even stomach pains.
She would suddenly be overcome with fear, and the way she coped with it was by running. She would get out of taxi cabs on Broadway and run. Poor kid.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
Anxiety can have a psychological basis, a physiological basis, a genetic basis. It's usually a combination of everything.
Looking through many accounts of her early life, there are a couple of key events that stand out as possible contributory factors to Patty's anxiety.
From the very beginning, Patty's managers, John and Ethel Ross, had clear ideas about how to make her a star, starting with her name.
It was the most traumatic thing she said that happened to her.
Our name is a key part of our identity. It's what we hang our sense of who we are on. So you're starting from a place of feeling somehow less than, someone that needs to be changed to be accepted.
Over time, the Rosses began to seek even greater control. And when she was 13, they insisted Patty move in with them.
And that meant that she could rarely see her mother.
Mommy!
Patty was totally isolated. She was cut off from everyone.
The emotional damage inflicted by losing her name and her family may have directly impacted on Patty's physical health. And there are shocking accounts of how her managers attempted to control her sleep.
Patty was perhaps 12 or 13 when she was introduced to medication that she probably didn't need.
At this time, Patty was the belle of Broadway, doing 8 performances a week of The Miracle Worker.
There were times when the Rosses were worried that she wasn't getting enough rest. She needed to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on the set the next morning, so they'd give her a pill and send her to bed.
They gave her things like Thorazine, which is usually used for schizophrenia.
These meds are very powerful and used to treat major states of mental disturbance in schizophrenics and other psychotic patients. And I can see from reports that she was given this regularly throughout her teenage years. That blocks receptors in the brain, preventing the overactivity of dopamine, the neurotransmitter responsible for regulating mood and behavior. Thorazine may well have made Patty sleepy and possibly have reduced her symptoms of anxiety. But I have to question the motives behind giving this incredibly strong drug to a child.
May 25th, 2014. University of Nebraska Medical Center, Omaha. Less than 2 years before her death. Patty has spent 2 days in the hospital after she was taken ill at an event.
There are many illnesses that can cause severe abdominal pain.
They ran tests, I know that.
Her doctors have identified the problem, and Patty is allowed to leave. Her husband, Mike Pierce, calls the film event organizer in Omaha.
Hello, Bruce.
During her time in Omaha, Patty has asked Bruce to act as her spokesman.
She was suffering from a very severe form of irritable bowel syndrome. And I asked her husband, Mike, I said, Mike, if the media and press call me again, would it be okay to tell them that? And he said, yes. They said they wanted to be upfront and open and not hide anything from people.
This was to be the last statement about her health that Patty Duke or her family would make until after her death almost 2 years later.
Irritable bowel syndrome is a common long-term condition of the digestive system that has been linked to food moving too quickly or slowly through the gut. It can result in severe cramping and abdominal pain. IBS causes chronic discomfort and can be very disruptive, but is not in itself life-threatening. I've discovered that Patty had a history of smoking. Tobacco not only significantly worsens symptoms of IBS, it can also lead to life-threatening conditions which increase the risk of an intestinal rupture.
She was a career smoker. She began smoking in the late 1960s. I believe she says that she was up to 4 packs a day.
Over the years, Patty suffered serious conditions as a result of her smoking. First, heart disease. Smoking damages the lining of the arteries, leading to a buildup of fatty material, which narrows the artery. Patty underwent a single heart bypass in 2004. Speaking at the time, she attributed smoking as the primary cause of her heart disease. She claimed to give up smoking as a result.
While this might have ruled out tobacco as an aggravating factor in her IBS, years of smoking had left Patty with another chronic condition.
There are reports that Patty also had a lengthy battle with emphysema. This is a long-term progressive disease of the lungs caused by irreversible damage to the lung tissue. After the onset of this condition, Patty would have lived with it for the rest of her life. Emphysema, along with her weakened heart, meant her health was seriously compromised. And at this stage, I can't rule them out as playing a contributory factor in her death. But there is something else in her medical history that may be linked more directly to her stomach problems.
People thought she was an alcoholic.
They said that this is what usually happens to people. She's a movie star.
Was a movie star lifestyle responsible in some way for Patty Duke's death?
World-renowned medical examiner Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the death of Hollywood icon Patty Duke.
Patty Duke died as a result of complications from a ruptured intestine. Not only is a ruptured intestine pretty rare, but with surgical intervention, there's a reasonable survival rate. So I need to investigate what happened in Patty's case.
Fall 2014, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 18 months before her death. Patty is working with her friend, William Jankowski, on a book about her 60-year career. She experiences sharp pain in her abdomen and moves to the bed.
In the afterword of Bill Jankowski's book, he says that she was often uncomfortable and had to lie down.
A few months after hospitalization for IBS, Patty was still suffering considerably with abdominal pain. This may be something she had to live with from now on. But I noticed that she was introduced to a habit in her early teens that can not only aggravate symptoms of IBS, but can also lead to other more serious gastrointestinal disorders, alcohol.
Patty's managers, John and Ethel Ross, were both heavy drinkers.
When Patty was about 13 or 14, the Rosses started giving her alcohol.
In 1964, at the age of 18, Patty was riding high with the success of the Patty Duke Show. She decided it was time to break free from the Ross's control, but by now, she was drinking regularly.
Her experience of how normalized it was fed into her worldview and understanding of how to approach and use alcohol.
Just over a year later, she married her first husband, Harry Falk. But within 6 months, the Patty Duke show was canceled.
She began to stay out all night and drink a lot of alcohol.
She was hungover most of the time and spent weeks in bed.
Excessive alcohol consumption over many years can increase the risk of intestinal rupture. But there are no accounts of heavy drinking beyond her mid-30s, so I'm discounting alcohol as a likely factor in her death. But I can see there are many accounts of behaviors associated with other substance abuse in Patty's 20s and early 30s.
In 1970, Patty's first marriage broke down, and she began to unravel.
She would do things like rent a Learjet and leave it running when she wasn't using it, not worrying about the bills. She would have sex with a different man every night.
A few months later, she discovered she was pregnant with her son, Sean. Unsure who the father was, she married Michael Tell, a man she claimed she barely knew, though a paternity test 26 years later would prove him to be the father.
He said, well, I'll marry you if you're pregnant. And so she said, what the heck? And they flew to Vegas and got married.
The marriage was annulled after 13 days. And later that year, rumors that she was still off the rails continued when she collected an Emmy for the film My Sweet Charlie.
Patty's acceptance speech at the Emmys, this is somebody that wants to say something but feels they can't. She was expected to get people's attention, hello, show enthusiasm, please people. And then never complain and just say thank you.
At first glance, this looks like the behavior of someone out of control on alcohol or drugs. And there are accounts that at times, Patty was restless and spoke at great speed.
Almost to the point where you couldn't understand her.
This kind of behavior is typical of someone using large amounts of stimulants such as amphetamines or cocaine.
She was depicted in the movie magazines as being out of control.
Then in 1972, she married Addams Family actor John Astin. At the time, the question of her son's paternity was ambiguous, so Patty and Sean both took John's last name. And the following year, Mackenzie was born. But although it seemed Patty's life was settling down, she was far from well.
She had these periods of extreme depression. And when I say extreme, I mean shutting yourself up in your room, not coming out for a whole weekend.
I can see that at times, Patty found her depression so debilitating, she tried to take her own life.
She did make many, many threats. She did take pills frequently. She had many suicide attempts.
She was hospitalized several times between the ages of 18 and 35.
By her own account, Patty attempted suicide at least 5 times in her 20s and early 30s. She often used Valium and alcohol. There are no records of any long-term damage to her organs as a result. Valium and alcohol do not cause intestinal rupture, and although overdose of other drugs can, this is very rare. When it does happen, it occurs no later than a few weeks after the overdose. So I can rule out these historical suicide attempts as playing any part in her death.
Patty's erratic behavior went on for over 16 years, but then something seemingly unrelated happened that had life-changing consequences. At the time, it was common to treat these with the steroid cortisone. And finally, her doctor was able to make a diagnosis.
Manic depression is now known as bipolar, a mental illness whereby the sufferer experiences extreme debilitating swings in mood, from very high to very low. The causes are not clearly understood, but both environmental and genetic factors play a role. So Patty's family background and the trauma of her early life likely were contributing factors.
They didn't know what bipolar was at that time. They didn't know what people were going through. It was something that had not been fully evaluated.
Patty was prescribed lithium to treat the illness, which she took for the rest of her life. Lithium acts on the central nervous system. It is thought to help strengthen nerve cell connections in brain regions that are involved in regulating mood, thinking, and behavior.
Following her diagnosis, Patty began to speak out about her mental illness.
It can't have been easy at that point to come out and speak about these things. We're like 40 years later. We still consider people that come out and speak about mental illness brave, because still to this day, you know, it's sad to say but true, it's kind of seen as like, well, you know, is it though? Because I can't see it. Is it really there? She was a pioneer.
After her diagnosis, Patty's marriage to John Aston ended. She went on to find lifelong love with her fourth husband, Idaho native Mike Pierce. In 1992, they left Hollywood to set up home in Coeur d'Alene. And among family and friends, Patty began once again to use the name her parents had given her, Anna.
While Patty Duke's bipolar disorder required careful management for the rest of her life, it was not directly responsible for the ruptured intestine that killed her. But there is a significant link between bipolar and the gastrointestinal system, including the irritable bowel syndrome Patty was hospitalized for in 2014. Research has shown that up to 94% of people with a psychiatric disorder also suffer from IBS.
The mind and the body are very much connected, so the kind of stress that one experiences can manifest in physical symptoms.
Sunday, March 20th, 2016, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 9 days before her death. Patty and her husband Mike are making Easter egg baskets for their grandchildren.
Okay.
There was no warning signs of what was about to come.
No one could imagine what would happen to Patty in just 4 days. On March 29th, 2016, America was saddened by the death of Hollywood legend Patty Duke as a result of a ruptured intestine. World-renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the case.
So far, I've discovered that she had a history of abdominal pain in the form of irritable bowel syndrome and was on long-term medication lithium, which she took to manage her bipolar disorder. A side effect of both of these is constipation, which can develop into more serious abdominal problems, including intestinal rupture. But I've also discovered something else. Looking at photographs and footage of Patty in her later years, at times, she is very thin. Was she suffering from an eating disorder?
Ethel Ross was probably the first person to tell Patty Duke that she was fat. But Patty Duke was an actress working in an industry that says to all women, your hips are too big, your hair is too long.
There are accounts that she had issues with her weight early in her life, and I need to investigate this further. Binge diets can lead to intestinal rupture.
During her early 20s, Patty's weight dropped dramatically.
It was not classic anorexia in the way that people say, I want to be thinner. She didn't do it with that purpose. She just lost interest in eating. And so she dropped from 108 pounds to about 73 pounds.
Gloria's account of Patty losing interest in food fits with the symptoms of her then undiagnosed bipolar disorder. It is not uncommon for sufferers of this disease to forget to eat during both manic and depressive episodes.
For over a decade, her weight went up as well as down. But during a period of overeating in 1979, a stranger's comment shocked her out of bad eating habits.
She finally became a healthy eater when a stranger in a grocery store mistakenly thought she was pregnant and asked her when her baby was due. She said that really did it for her. She went home and started dieting, and apparently stuck to it.
And after her diagnosis of bipolar disorder, Patty had another reason to eat healthily.
Because if she didn't, it could trigger a manic episode in her.
Eating regular healthy meals plays an important part in managing a mood disorder. Keeping blood sugar levels stable, which in turn helps maintain mood stability. There are many accounts that her bipolar was well controlled. Therefore, I can rule out an eating disorder as an indirect cause of Patty's death. The weight loss we see in the last few years of her life may be related to some underlying health issue.
Thursday, March 24th, 2016, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 4 days before her death. Without warning, Patty experiences a sudden sharp pain in her abdomen.
What?
Her husband, Mike, expressed surprise that she became so ill so quickly because the week before, she had been making Easter baskets for her grandchildren.
Sudden onset of severe pain is always a cause for concern. With Patty's medical history, this could be pointing to something very serious.
She was quite sick at home and then went to the hospital.
Kootenai Clinic Hospital, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Patty undergoes thorough testing.
If Patty had a perforated lower intestine, it would have shown up as a pocket of air beneath her diaphragm in an abdominal X-ray.
Her doctors conclude that this is a clinical emergency which requires urgent surgery.
The major risk with a perforated lower intestine or bowel is the leakage of partially digested food, bacteria, and fecal matter into the abdomen. If this happens, peritonitis sets in. Peritonitis is an inflammation of the lining of the abdomen and most of the organs. A dangerous complication of peritonitis is septicemia, a serious bacterial infection that poisons the bloodstream and can lead to the life-threatening condition, sepsis.
Patty's doctors carefully explain the risks of surgery.
Surgery places the body's organs under great strain, and Patty's history of emphysema and heart disease put her at a very high-risk category.
Regardless of who spoke to her or what they said, she opted for surgery.
Patty's son, the Hollywood actor Sean Astin, said that she was alert and talking to the surgeons as she went into the operating room.
This is an important clinical clue. It tells me that she still had neurological function and that her blood pressure pre-surgery was not at a dangerously low level. From this, I can deduce that while she may at that stage have had septicemia, it was not yet life-threatening.
But according to Patty's son, Sean Astin, the doctor told them that she was a very, very sick woman.
Abdominal surgery following intestinal rupture is messy and difficult. Before anything else can be done, the area needs to be washed out and drained. According to her records, Patty had her appendix and an ovarian cyst removed in 1965. It is very common for adhesions to occur following abdominal surgery. This is where bands of scar tissue stick together. If there were any adhesions as a result, this would have made the operation on her ruptured intestine more complicated and dangerous.
She came out of surgery and lived, but she was very ill.
Over the next 4 days, Patty is in intensive care, fighting for her life.
Nurse! Nurse!
Don't think that for those last days in the hospital, her death was expected. Then she became very ill, and it was clear that she was not going to make it.
Patty's oldest son, Sean, arrives at the hospital just in time.
Sean reported that he got a telephone call in the middle of the night and had to race to the hospital.
By his account, there are three other people present at his mother's bedside. At 1:20 a.m. on Tuesday, March 29th, Patty Duke dies.
I was totally shocked when she had passed away. It's like, whoa, what happened?
I was so sorry that it came to her at a time when she was enjoying her life.
I think we were all surprised that she died at 69. The last time I saw her on television, she seemed pretty healthy and pretty with it.
But back in 2014, when Patty became ill at the film event in Omaha, there were rumors flying about the cause.
Now, one of the news media people called, is it true she's dying from cancer?
There are a number of clues in the limited available information which leads me to believe that I can now determine what killed Patty Duke.
On March 29th, 2016, Hollywood legend Patty Duke died in the hospital 4 days after abdominal surgery to treat a ruptured intestine. Celebrated medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has been analyzing the evidence.
My investigation into the death of Patty Duke has centered around what caused her lower intestine to rupture. This is something that can occur during abdominal surgery. But in a statement after she died, her son said, "She had a lot of things that were plaguing her, and she finally got to a place where things were okay, and then this episode happened." The fact that this final illness had taken them by surprise leads me to believe that the rupture occurred before Patty's surgery. So I am ruling out a surgical complication as the cause of rupture. The unexpected nature of the illness also allows me to rule out other common causes of ruptured lower intestine, which include bowel and colon cancer, inflammatory bowel diseases such as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, diverticular disease, and obstruction from postoperative adhesions.
So what was going on in Patty Duke's body?
After her heart bypass surgery in 2004, Patty claimed to have given up smoking. But in an interview in December 2013, just over 2 years before she died, Patty made this admission. So despite the damage that smoking had already done to her body, Patty was unable to give it up. I'm curious about that.
With Patty, as far as her quitting, even though she might have wanted to, as far as her health, and she knew that she should quit, I think with a lot of smokers, it's just like the ritual.
Patty said in an interview that she had her Cinderella corner. Positive associations are being made with this cigarette. It's Cinderella. She's a princess. You know, it's her safe space. It's a space where she's not judged, where she relaxes. If you're putting all these positive associations onto that stick, it's never as simple as just saying get rid of the nicotine.
I think the key to Patty's death is linked to her smoking, which can lead to a condition called atherosclerosis, a buildup of plaque, narrowing of the arteries supplying blood and oxygen to the bowels. Her history of heart disease in 2002 and bypass in 2004 tells me that she'd been living with this condition for well over a decade. Smoking is one of the major causes, and this was a habit Patty could not give up. My opinion is that this atherosclerosis resulted in ischemic colitis, an inflammatory condition which occurs when there's a lack of blood flow to the colon. Another risk factor for ischemic colitis Patty faced is constipation, which raises pressure inside the colon and reduces blood flow to it. Constipation is not only a side effect of the lithium she took to control her bipolar disorder, but also a symptom of irritable bowel syndrome. One of the complications of ischemic colitis is infarction, where lack of blood and oxygen results in tissue death or gangrenous necrosis. I believe in Patty's case, this was so severe it caused a perforation or a rupture in her lower intestine. My guess is that the surgery only 4 days before she died was not only to repair the perforation, but to remove the dead bowel tissue and flush the abdomen of spilled fecal material. Although this is a very critical state, it is not always fatal, which means something else may have been going on. In Sean Astin's statement, he went on to confirm that after her intestines ruptured, there was septicemia. This set into motion a chain of events that left her fighting for her life. When her bowel ruptured, its contents laden with bacteria will have poured out into the abdomen, likely causing peritonitis. Despite all heroic surgical maneuvers, I believe the infection set in, not responding to treatment, and Patty developed sepsis. Sepsis is the overwhelming response of the immune system to infection. Chemicals released into the blood at this point trigger widespread inflammation, which leads to blood clots and leaky blood vessels. As a result, serious organ damage or death may occur. Although not all cases of sepsis are fatal, Up to 30 million people worldwide die from it every year. Sepsis moves quickly and needs to be treated immediately with antibiotics. Patty's doctors would have avoided penicillin due to her allergy, but this would not have put her health at any further danger at this point. The final stage of sepsis is septic shock, when a significant drop in blood pressure leads to respiratory or heart failure, stroke, failure of other organs, and death. Patty's heart and lungs were already compromised by her heart disease and history of emphysema, making her battle to stay alive much harder. Patty Duke died of sepsis as a result of her ruptured intestine. She was a brilliant actress and courageous woman who came through the traumas of her early life and the pain of her mental illness, and in doing so, won a place in the hearts of millions. But of all of her battles, it was nicotine she could not defeat. And in the end, the cumulative effect it had on her body left it unable to fight her final illness, resulting in her sad and untimely death.
She's one of the most accomplished actresses of our time. She definitely has a major place in entertainment history.
Her graciousness, her kindness. It was this woman willing to listen and talk to that person that came up to him.
She brought mental illness really out of the closet and into the open. And people did say, well, if Patty Duke could say this, then why can't I say it? Why can't I do it too?
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to reels.com, that's reelz.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.
Hey, do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.